Foot Clan, you know I run a little hot, and you know I love sleeping. So
both of these are true.
Both of those are true.
Fact. So
get all those warm, hot, awful sheets out of my life. Give me my Sheets Rock, who created the regulator sheets, which are designed specifically
you mount up on those
to keep hot sleepers cool and cold sleepers comfortable. They regulate temperature, wick moisture, stay breathable. They're so soft. I genuinely love my sheets. They are awesome. They are made from the best in class bamboo rayon, holy grail of sheeting, as you say. If you don't believe me, their 5-star customer reviews speak for themselves. Plus, they offer a 90-day risk-free trial and free shipping and returns. Check out MySheets Rock at MySheetsRock.com/footballers and enter our code footballers for 10% off and free shipping.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in. And welcome back.
Indeed.
Welcome back to the studio, Mike. Welcome back, Jason.
It's good to be here, America.
It's good to be back.
Tuesday, February 2nd. Were you ever that guy that said February? Were you ever that guy?
Never. No. What? Okay.
We don't hate ourselves here.
I understand.
There's always somebody.
Well, you say it when you're like, oh, man, how do I spell February? Oh, it's February, and we're all dumb.
Why do we do that? Why do we have words like that?
I am not sure. I have watched something, like a little YouTube special about words, like not necessarily February, but just words. Why is it spelled like that? And they said legitimately, we started spelling words differently so they would look better.
Really?
Somewhere along the line.
It's just an aesthetic thing?
Yes. Purely aesthetic. And now,
this word could use? This looks like it needs an R somewhere in it.
So somewhere along the line, because, you know, English, we've taken from other languages.
Sure.
That's why you have certain spellings. But there's also some words they just said, you know what? This word will look a lot prettier if we start changing it up. And that's why we have so many problems spelling words. Our language is...
Well, things are different now, Mike.
The worst.
Now we're typing things. You know, we used to write them.
Yeah.
There used to be, what,
calligraphy?
Yeah.
Oh, that's still out there.
Oh, no.
It's out there on Etsy.
Their
fancy fountain pens.
Yeah, I never learned. I never learned how to write like that.
I think my mom was big into calligraphy when I was growing up.
Yeah. So you got some really, really nice birthday cards, front of them?
It was just like a hobby. You know, like my mom decided to take up calligraphy. What is
that? That's what moms did back then. I'm serious. Every mom I knew.
What a scrapbooking and calligraphy.
Well, we're good. We're happy to be back in the studio. Al Borland's here. Brooks is here. We're still trying to remember how we do things. It's been a few weeks since we've been in here.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say it's great to see your faces.
Oh, thanks, bud.
But it's okay. It's decent.
It's not the worst.
But we have a wide receiver truth episode today. We've had some just absolutely monstrous NFL news that is broken that we need to talk about. And we have some very exciting things coming up with Super Bowl Sunday. In fact, we're going to be doing a live stream Super Bowl Sunday. So I encourage you, go to youtube.com/thefantasyfootballers. Subscribe and click the bell, and you'll be notified when we go live. I can't tell you that I know exactly what time we're going live on Super Bowl Sunday.
No one knows.
That'll be part of our celebration of the big game, and the UDK and UDK Plus pre-orders will begin this upcoming Sunday, so you do not want to miss any of that sweet, sweet UDK action, as they say. Twitter at the FFBallers, Instagram.com/fantasyfootballers. And let's just talk about it. Let's talk about it.
Yes,
the big it.
All right, Matthew Stafford,
no.
Matty Snapback. Matthew Stafford was traded from the Detroit Lions to the Los Angeles Rams in exchange for Jared Goff, a 2022 first rounder, 2023 first rounder, 2021 third rounder.
Oh, man.
And
this trade is bananas.
I mean, we knew that Matthew Stafford wasn't going to be back with Detroit. We didn't know where he was going or how long it would take. Didn't take long.
No.
New home for Matthew Stafford. And this trade has there's something about it that's even more interesting. Just in the, like, Jared Goff is a California kid.
Yeah.
And the sunshine and rainbows and surfer guy has to now go, now has to go to the frozen Detroit Lions.
Yes, he goes up to an area that he probably has spent very little time. We just shared a video around the office, a viral video of one of the Great Lakes. A boat's cruising through it, except it's covered in ice. How is there so much ice on the lake?
And it's just weather, Mike.
I guess. And this and the guy who didn't know which direction the sun rose and set. You don't got to worry about that anymore, Jared Goff. There's just no sun.
You will see no sun again. What's funny is, you know, we talked about, okay, Matthew Stafford mutually agreed that they were going to find a trade, and there was talk the week prior that the Rams were looking to possibly unload Jared Goff. And my thought when that news came out was, ain't nobody taking on this contract with Jared Goff, but they found a way by packaging it with...
It's the Brock Osweiler loophole, Jason.
Yes, I did not think about how much they could pay to get rid of that contract. But in truth, I think it's actually a good deal for both teams. Had to get out of this contract if you are the Los Angeles Rams. And your team is great. Your defense is as good as any in the league. Your offense with Sean McVay and some of the weapons you have there is really solid, but you just don't have a quarterback that is good enough. The question is, do you now with Matthew Stafford?
Well, and in the spirit of this trade, let's play a game.
I want to play a game.
All right. Kyle.
I'm very excited.
Kyle's put together a game for us. I know the purpose of this game, and I think it's stupid. But
if you're new to a random game like this on the Fantasy Footballers, there's usually an M. Night type of a twist involved, so we could just use our analytical powers to try and shoot down another player. And I think that's going to happen to Matthew Stafford.
All right, Matthew Stafford versus Jared Goff. This is the past four seasons with at least 15 games played. So for Stafford, that's 2016 through 2018 and 2020. I didn't count 2019 with the injuries. Who has more pass attempts?
It doesn't matter.
I know it doesn't matter. That's why I said this is a stupid game.
I think it's going to be Matthew Stafford just because,
yes,
Goff and the Rams, they're run heavy. Stafford usually has to come back from behind, so I'm gonna go Stafford there.
Pretty close, 22-42 to 22-16. I think that's a table setter.
Okay, well now
Stafford's
that,
a little
so
bit
Stafford's,
higher.
Stafford has a few more.
A few more.
All right. Well, that makes this next question matter more.
Completions.
It better be Stafford. It better be.
Is Matthew Stafford 1,465 to 1,424?
All right. Okay. All right. So far, so good.
This game is boring.
This game can be dumb in so many ways. Passing yardage.
I mean, it's got to be Stafford. Stafford airs it out. Well, I guess it was...
It's Goff.
Oh,
Jared
it's Goff.
Goff? 17,000 yards to 16,600 for Stafford.
Stafford, the checkdown king. What a baby.
Passing touchdowns. I know this is going to be Goff.
Yeah, it's got to be Goff or this wouldn't be a game.
It's 102 to 100. Okay, whatever.
The point that I'm
seeing. We've got one more.
Yeah, this is the big time.
This is the one that
we're a fantasy football show. Top 12 weekly performances. How many times has someone been a QB1?
I bet it's the same. I bet that's the trick. I bet it's the same.
Oh, a tie?
That's my guess.
I agree, because what I was just going to say is what I'm
seeing. Copycat.
What I am seeing from this game is that they're basically the same. They're super close in all these stats.
Maybe that's the point.
All right, so who has more top 12 quarterback performances?
Stafford.
Goff, 23, Stafford with 20.
But
I don't care about any of this. I don't care, and I'm sorry. I know it's fun to play a game. I don't tell me that a man trapped in Detroit is better off than a look. They just traded multiple first round picks and the quarterback that brought them to a Super Bowl or was part of a Super Bowl team in Jared Goff to get Matthew Stafford. And here's the last question of the want to play a game. Do you have eyeballs?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Who's the better quarterback?
Matthew Stafford.
Stafford for sure.
There you go.
Matthew Stafford by a ton.
And apparently Sean McVay had kind of just become laser focused on acquiring Matthew Stafford when this news broke. There were offers from a number of other teams. Washington made a very compelling offer for him.
Carolina offered the number 8 pick plus other, I believe, a third round pick as well.
But here's Matthew Stafford arriving in Los Angeles. So let's just talk about this for a second. What does it mean for – I mean, I just brought up a couple shows ago the fact that they're probably not going to bring Josh Reynolds back. Gerald Everett won't be back. And I kind of like Van Jefferson, right? He's the kind of – he's you know, you have Cooper Kupp on the inside, dink and dunk. Now, that could be something interesting to think about because Jared Goff and Kupp had kind of a thing, you know, where they he laser-focused on him. Robert Woods is a really good receiver. He's very well-rounded, but I felt like the unknown ceiling of Van Jefferson was interesting on the outside. What does this do to the offensive piece? Are you higher on Cam Akers now? Because the offense is better.
Obviously,
in theory.
We have seen Matthew Stafford utilize the running back in the passing game a lot. You saw it with Swift. You saw it, obviously, for years with Theo Riddick. So I do think Cam Akers gets a slight bump if you're expecting the offense to be a little bit better. I have seen too much on Twitter about Stafford now being locked in as a guaranteed top 10 quarterback and, you know, the bump that all of the wide receiving options get. I don't believe that to be the case. I think that this is going to be a very similar offense to what you saw. The difference being when things are going poorly, in those games where they are down and they need to make some magic happen, I think that they know that they can get more out of Stafford off script than they can. You know, it's like when the script goes well, Goff is absolutely fine. And when the script goes well, Stafford's going to be fine. But when things go poorly, they need a quarterback that can go out and win a game on his own, and Goff can't do that.
I think that's a pretty strong argument, and part of that script is the offensive line. And when the offensive line broke down, Jared Goff became completely incapable of moving the offense at times, a lot like Mitch Trubisky. Mitch Trubisky had a nice run for a period of time in Chicago, but it was an execution thing. It wasn't a improvisation, arm strength, arm talent. The things that Matthew Stafford has and has shown is an ability to come back in games. So I think that that's a pretty good observation there where, now, do I think that they're a better team? Yeah. And I think that that, do I think Stafford could be a top 10 quarterback there? Yeah, I do. I absolutely do.
Because Jared Goff had times where he would be incredible for fantasy purposes.
But good defensive team and a good running team.
I'm with Jason, though. For like the wide receivers, it's almost net neutral to me. I mean, maybe I like him a little bit more, but I'm not going, oh, man, Robert Woods, two rounds earlier this year. No, I'll draft Robert Woods about the same place that I would have drafted him if Jared Goff were there. They are a much better team. And I like to imagine, though, flipping over to the Detroit Lions, this hasn't happened. This is just, you know, a daydream that I played out of my head. I like to imagine that Kenny Golladay was at the table with his contract in front of him. He licked the pen.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just about to sign this.
And then
then his agent like goes, hold on, as he's getting the tweets that Stafford was traded, and they just tear it up. Because Kenny Golladay is not coming back to Detroit, ladies and gentlemen, unless they give him the most money a wide receiver has ever seen in his life.
No, they're in full rebuild. I mean, it's nothing Detroit fans don't know, but
right.
There's but a basement with your name on it. I mean, that division is
sucks.
waiting to be. And that's why you gave a 6-year deal to Dan Campbell, because Dan Campbell walked in and said, I'm going to need 2 years to get this thing, the engine started.
He's super into Jared Goff's kneecaps. They're very strong.
Here's the thing. Jared Goff is the Detroit Lions starter for the next two years. Because the money says he has to be.
All right. No, other big news to talk about other than the fact that Deshaun Watson has formally requested a trade? Apparently, fantasy football and NFL football are becoming closer related here with quarterback movement and trades and offseason interest in trades. We were talking before the show about, you know, San Francisco wants a change at quarterback, and I can't imagine this trade in division of Matthew Stafford doesn't further motivate them to fix that problem, because that's the big problem that they have. They'll get a bunch of, you know, Nick Bosa and defensive pieces back next year. They're interested. There was talk of, oh, is Kirk Cousins available to maybe come back with Kyle Shanahan? Well, Deshaun Watson's formally requested a trade, and all signs point to him getting moved for,
I don't know.
Trade package to get Deshaun Watson is going to be record-breaking.
That's the problem, is did this reset the market for how many first-round picks you would actually have to give up to get Deshaun Watson? And or do the NFL teams realize, okay, well, this, you know, part of the reason that the Rams had to give so many picks away is so that they could send the contract away. I don't know if Watson gets traded at this point, because the Houston Texans are going to clamp down and say, we want at least three first round picks. We want a defensive starter included. I mean, they're going to want so much, as they should, if you're going to trade away. If you're just spitballing off the top of your head, where is Deshaun Watson right now in terms of franchise quarterbacks? Top five. I mean, those types of, he might be in the, but top eight, whatever. You guarantee you have a top eight type of franchise quarterback right now. You can't just trade those guys away for nothing. So I lean on the side that, and this take could age poorly, but right now I lean that Watson's not going to get traded.
I think he'll get moved. That's what do you think, Jay? I think he's going to get moved. I think these teams are going to bring the heat when it comes to getting that franchise quarterback, whether it's Washington or whether it's the Jets, Miami.
I just don't think a team can actually give up the amount of it. The Rams don't care. The Rams don't want their first-round picks ever. So
let me ask you this, though. Go from these teams can to should they?
Yes, of course.
Do you think that a team should – let me just make a scenario. You're Miami. Should you trade Tua, three firsts, 3 seconds for Deshaun Watson? That offer right there.
No.
Should you do that?
Yes. No. So we disagree.
Yeah.
I would be willing to do that. I don't think it will take three firsts, Tua, and 3 seconds. So you negotiate from there. But
it'll be close to that.
You have a great defense, and you have a surplus of assets. It's not just your average team where you have one first, one second, one third for the next 3 years. You've got a ton of assets from the tank job you did. That was so that you could go and spend up to get something like this. If you put Deshaun Watson on that team last year, they are, you know,
breaking
maybe
news,
playing
the,
football right
the
now.
The Detroit Lions have just acquired Deshaun Watson in exchange for Jared Goff. That's not true. Yeah, I mean, it's just going to be interesting because there's the fallout. And, you know, this is why we have a year-round show, mm-hmm. is because interesting things happen all the time in the offseason. But the fallout of all these deals, I'm trying to think ahead of Denver, right? Like, if Deshaun Watson landed in Denver.
Mm. That'd be spectacular.
Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, yes. Noah Fant. What is the implication there? Like, there are some bets you could make. Like, a player like Cortland Sutton, young, talented, regardless of his quarterback, he's a player that will contribute to your dynasty team, right?
Right.
But does he have a 10% chance of also having a huge upgrade? Like, there are players out there where you can look at this, Terry McLaurin maybe, or, you know, other situations where you're like, Denzel Mims. Like, if the quarterback changes, these players skyrocket.
Are the Jets still sitting at the favorites?
According to Vegas.
That's what I mean.
But he's got a no trade clause, so we'll see.
Yeah. Hey, before we move into the wide receiver truths?
No, we'll stick with the no S. The truth.
It just showed up. What are you going to do?
It's truths.
I've been saying it wrong this whole time.
Yeah, it's truths.
Want to thank today's sponsor, Simply Safe, longtime supporter of the show, and we are longtime supporters of Simply Safe. Everyone wants to keep their home and your family safe. Break-in, fire, flooding, medical emergency, no matter what it is, Simply Safe, their home security, delivers award-winning 24/7 protection. And you look, you get to put it in yourself. You don't have to worry about dealing with long-term contracts. SimpliSafe.
Brooks's butler offered to put it in, and Brooks is like, no, I can do this. It's not that.
Brooks, you installed your own SimpliSafe?
I was able to handle it.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Brooks, man of the people.
I know.
Man of the people. Keeping his people safe.
Yep.
SimpliSafe has an arsenal of sensors and cameras that protect every inch of your home. You can set it up yourself in about 30 minutes. That's what Brooks did. Brooks, did it take you 30 minutes or less?
Less.
That's what I'm talking about. Then SimpliSafe professionals, they take over, monitoring your home 24/7, ready to send help the moment there's an alarm. Plus, with SimpliSafe, no long-term contract. And right now, our listeners get a free home security camera when you purchase a SimpliSafe system at simplisafe.com/footballers. You get a 60-day risk-free trial. There is nothing to lose. Visit simplisafe.com/footballers for your free security camera today. That's simplisafe.com/footballers.
All right, now it's time for the truth.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
I mean, if you're Marvin Jones and Kenny Golladay.
Oh, peace.
You are peace so out. Fortunate to have your contracts up right now.
And in another, like.
I mean, if you're a fantasy dynasty.
Yes.
Manager of those players, too. You're like, oh, cool.
Another like little side note that it came out of, like, you can't handle the truth. It was allegedly said that Stafford said, you can trade me anywhere in the NFL, except for the Patriots. He would not accept a trade to the New England Patriots.
You know why, right? Because he would have had to turn that backwards cap right around to the front.
I believe.
No backwards caps in New England.
Isn't Patricia back? In New England?
Oh, that's right. Patricia did go back to New England.
Is he?
Yeah.
Man, what is that ceremony like when these esteemed Belichick tree coaches, they go off like McDaniels and Patricia, and they go off to their solo jobs, they flame out, and then do they come slinking back like, oh hey.
There's a ring that
Dad,
must be
can
kissed.
I have a... Can I have a job, Dad?
He just holds the hand out.
This is part of his plan. Bill Belichick builds these coaches up to fail so that when they come back, they are more under his power. And they know, like, I let you try and see what happened. Now listen to me.
They must kiss the ring,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah. Mr. Belichick, last time I was making $4 million a year, you'll be making one. This is just savings for Bill Belichick.
Yeah, but it's a full cycle because now Josh McDaniels people are interested again. You can come all the way back around. What is this? We're doing the truth.
The truth about wide receivers.
About the wide receiver position. If you missed it, we've done quarterbacks, we've done running backs, and here we are with the wide receivers.
Oh no! Does that mean we have to do tight ends?
At some point, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, what's the...
That's a quick episode.
What's the truth about Chris Herndon, huh?
He's going to be great. It's going to be great.
All right.
That's the truth.
We're looking at consistency. We're telling the truth about how these players contributed to your fantasy team and whether or not those end-of-season rankings really matter or whether they were consistent and helped you win week to week. For the wide receiver position, we're classifying great games as 20 or more fantasy points. Good games is 12 or more, and bust games is 8 or less. So 1 point at the wide receiver position as we get things kicked off. Major resurgence in wide receiver scoring this past year in 2020. The most total receptions, yards, touchdowns, and fantasy points since ever.
Wow.
That's records at all of those numbers: receptions, yards, touchdowns, fantasy points.
That's a good year for the position, and honestly, it's not a surprising year to have that happen. We knew for a long time that this was an incredible rookie draft class. So when you have a handful of immediate contributors added to the league, while all the other, you know, the Calvin Ridleys take their step forward in time, and the rookies come in, and the Justin Jeffersons and CeeDee Lambs, T. Higgins. Just show up.
Higgins's.
You know, really helps the overall numbers.
Well, and the fact that there was no off season, no training camp. I mean, you go back to when the lockout almost happened. We saw record performances on the offensive side that time, too.
Well, I think there's a lot to it. I mean, clearly, the officials had a different level of, you know, they weren't calling as much, not as many holding penalties.
That's true, just until the very end of the very end of the playoff game.
That's correct. 586 more wide receiver receptions and 55 more touchdowns.
Ooh.
55!
Than last year. And number one overall, number two in consistency, Devontae Adams. 148 targets, 115 receptions, 1,374 yards, 18 touchdowns, and 79% of the time was good, 57% great, and just a 14% bust rate for Mr. Devontae Adams. And we don't hold injury games where they already missed the whole game against him.
And he did that in what, 13 and a half games?
Considered an Adams season? Isn't that about normal?
Yeah, it, what's incredible is you remember how great, how absolutely incredible Michael Thomas was the year prior. Devontae Adams outscored him, and he missed games. That's how good Devontae Adams was. When he was on the field, he was outstanding. We don't need to really tell you that. When you have that many touchdowns, you're going to be great. When you are the number one target by a wide margin for your team with Aaron Rodgers, he was just phenomenal. And as someone who in multiple dynasty leagues, I had Devontae Adams. It didn't feel good the first half of the year. Mm-hmm. When you miss those, he had a bad week too. Then he missed a couple games because he was injured. Then a bye week. You're going into week six.
Then a bad game coming out of the bye.
Yeah, you're like, I wish I had Devontae Adams. And then, wish granted, the genie shows up and says, my command.
It felt really bad in week 15, too.
Yeah, it did. By the way, he scored more fantasy points than everybody in fantasy football from week 7 on, except for Aaron Rodgers. So, first player to lead wide receivers in fantasy points in fewer than 15 games played. That's incredible. 18 receiving touchdowns is incredible. I mean, that's not something that you can... You can't bank on 18 from any wide receiver ever. But if there was one that you could bank on double digits from, Devontae Adams is
correct.
Certainly in that category.
Yeah, 18 touchdowns is more than 20 other teams had at their wide receiver positions combined. That's insane.
That's absurd.
Yeah, I don't even want to know how few receiving wide receiver touchdowns the Patriots had this year.
Oh,
somebody should vet that over this. Vet that.
I'm on it.
Vet
I'm on
that
it. That's a fun one.
I imagine that number is not high. It's probably bad. All right. Led all wide receivers in yards route per run. Look, the story with Devontae Adams is that he's the best receiver in fantasy football when he's healthy. The only kind of problem that Devontae Adams has had at all over the last couple of years is health. So are you both vetting that number right now?
I am.
I'm not doing
that's not helping the show very
sorry,
much.
Sorry, but now you sent me down the rabbit hole. I had to know because it's like, man.
Let's take a guess.
Well, I don't have the wide receiver touchdowns in front of me. I have Cam Newton, who he played 15 games. I mean, he did miss that one, game.
Yeah, but running backs were catching touchdowns from him. I'm guessing they had 10 receiving touchdowns at wide receiver position.
I know the answer, so you get to guess.
I would take the under on 10. I'll go 7.
Well, it was 4. It was 4. You had N'Keal Harry with 50% of the wide receiver touchdowns with 2.
Yeah, Jacoby with 1 maybe.
Yep, you had and Damir Bird with 1.
Just saying those four names. This year you're going to have no Tom Brady, but you know, you'll end up with 4 receiving touchdowns at the wide receiver position.
Actually, Jacoby had none. It was Gunner.
Oh my gosh. Gunner on a jet ski.
Gunner on a jet ski. All right.
Cam Newton had half the receiving touchdowns that N'Keal Harry had.
Oh, man. It's only funny because they've won so many championships.
Yes.
Tyreek Hill was number 2. He was the number 1 most consistent fantasy wide receiver. Number 1.
Which is... also absurd. I mean, that feels almost equally as absurd as how good Devontae Adams was. Tyreek Hill, you knew that he would give you these high ceiling games where he would be the number one guy. He would be a top 3 player very frequently. But he had been inconsistent That had been the problem with Tyreek Hill. And
yeah, let me highlight that. I mean, 2016, I won't go that far back, but last year, yeah, he was 11th in consistency. The year before, 15th in consistency, despite finishing first. So he had a number one overall finish.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Finished 15th. 9th overall consistency the year before that. This year, he's the number one most consistent wide receiver and number two overall finisher. He was dominant, and he only busted one time. He had one bust game, 80% good, 33% great, great on the road, great against. I mean, he scored more fantasy points against top 16 defenses. So this was a matchup-proof, consistent dominator for your fantasy team. 15 touchdowns, 135 targets. There were no negatives to speak of for Tyreek Hill's season.
No, what the Chiefs did, and this is something I absolutely love when a team can accomplish this, is they said, we're going to take our two best pieces, mm-hmm. and we're going to give them everything. We're going to say that we could beat you with two. And Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, that was all they needed. You didn't have Sammy Watkins and DeMarcus Robinson and all these guys really eating into the pie. So that helped. And obviously the talent and skill of Tyreek Hill, he is an unguardable weapon. And so going forward, you know, you look at Tyreek Hill and Davante Adams, both outstanding, but which one has the likelihood to repeat at this level? I think if you just look at the percentage of touchdowns Aaron Rodgers threw and you say, well, that just naturally has to come down a little bit just to his career average, which mm-hmm. is great, but not outlandish like it was this year. It's probably more likely that Tyreek Hill continues, I believe.
Well, I mean, it's so helpful to have a coach that's so creative and puts him in a position to get his no matter what happens. And it doesn't always have to be the deep bomb anymore for Tyreek Hill. That's what it was. It's not what it is. 71 of his targets came from the slot. He gets end arounds. He gets handoffs. He gets tap passes. Yeah, it's just – I love Michael Keaton. and he's turns 27 years old in a month. So, things are going to be very, very, very cozy for the Kansas City offense mm-hmm. for at least the next couple of years when you have Mahomes, Clyde, Kelce, and Hill together.
Yep.
And those pieces are not moving. So things happen. I mean, they always do, just like last year with Mahomes' injury. But there you go. Number three, Stephon Diggs. Consistency, number three.
He was good.
He was great. I mean, he was everything that this team needed, and he was very, very consistent for your fantasy team. He was great on the road. Same performances against good and bad defenses. Jason, I mean, you can hang your hat on Stephon Diggs and your confidence level with him, arguing with Mike all offseason about
your
belief.
Place the hat upon. I will be your hat wreck.
Oh, Mike, yeah. Thank you. hold on to this for me.
So,
that's what I deserve.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the big deal with Stephon Diggs was, and you could say is a chicken or the egg situation, but it was the improvement of Josh Allen, a leap forward the likes of which I can't remember when you talk about a quarterback going from at best. I mean,
going from the most inaccurate quarterback in the league
to one of the most, and obviously Diggs played a role in that, but it wouldn't have happened by him alone. I think it's a chicken and the egg situation. But going forward into next season, you already know he's a great wide receiver. You already know he's got the rapport with Josh Allen, and you expect more of the same, whether or not it's to this level and you know, the Bills offense might regress as it does from year to year. There's a lot of confidence, I think, in Stephon Diggs going into next season.
Stephon Diggs was the best fantasy wide receiver, if not for the touchdown disparity between him and Davante Adams. I mean, he had 127 catches. He had 1,500-plus yards. He was absolutely dominant, just 10 fewer touchdowns than Davante Adams had.
Yeah, you want your fantasy options to lead the NFL in targets, receptions, and yards.
That's good. A decent thing, especially with a new team. I mean, that narrative of like these players coming into new teams and having down years, it didn't come true with DeAndre Hopkins. It didn't come true with Stephon Diggs. So, absolutely great last year for what it's worth in Minnesota, wide receiver 22, consistency of 25. So it was a huge upgrade for him, and he's 27 years old as well. In a dynasty league, I still assume you guys are both on the Hillside versus Diggs?
Yes.
Yep.
All right. I think he could do the exact same thing next year very easily, Stephon Diggs, with what this team is doing. So, Calvin Ridley. Wow. Oh, Calvin Ridley ended up at 4, and he was the fourth most consistent wide receiver. Number 4.
Yeah, it is surprising because, you know, at the start of the year, Julio was great getting all the yardage. He was still the number one, but as Julio went down, Calvin Ridley, you know, he said, I'm here, I could step up, I'm good enough, and he was just, you know, phenomenal.
I'm strong enough, I'm fast enough,
I'm smart enough, doggone people like me.
143 targets, 90 for 13, 74, and 9. I am surprised at the finish because there was no doubt that Ridley's great, but he would have these burst games, right? Like he started the year with 29 fantasy points and 26 fantasy points. Then he kind of disappeared, had a goose in week 4.
Yeah, the goose, the fact that he is number 4.
How is he number 4 in consistency? I'm just shocked by that.
Here's how. And we say this throughout the entire year. We say this in the offseason.
Yeah.
You'll hear this again and again and again. Wide receivers aren't consistent. So it's not like he was this unbelievable model of consistency. He was the number 4 best, most consistent wide receiver. But it's compared to the field. And even great wide receivers, DeAndre Hopkins and phenomenal mm-hmm. guys, they don't all have good games, which is why at the beginning of the season, when you have bad games from great wide receivers, buy them. You know, get the stock in those wide receivers, because if they're great, they're great, and they're going to have bad games. You know, you just can't always tell when they're going to be. And the reality is, you had 3 really, really bad games from Calvin Ridley. That is a great number to have.
Well, in one of those games, he got hurt in. It's the week 4. That was a disaster. That was the goose egg. Then you had week 8 is when he went down with the injury, because then he missed the following game.
Atlanta had the most vacated targets coming into the year. It's why we loved Ridley. It's why he was a breakout pick. It's why he looked like this year's Chris Godwin from the get-go, and people were on board with that, you know, when Godwin broke out last year, and that's where he ended up. I mean, he led the NFL in air yards. He seems to have the ability to, when combined with the offense that Matt Ryan was running, you know, same thing happened with Julio Jones. There's just a lot of deep value targets available, those deep routes where Ridley just has massive amounts of separation. Julio's what, 32 years old, or he's going to be 32 year old
next
years
week?
Old?
Yeah.
Is it official?
Yeah.
He's going to be 32?
No.
That's Calvin, definitely official. I see the date of birth.
Hey, look, we've learned in the past.
Who was that guy?
Birth dates. Cameron Artis Payne.
Yes.
Taught us that birthdays are not official, Jason.
He aged 4 years in a day.
Yeah. Look, it's really going to be hard to know.
Is it official that Ridley has surpassed Julio Jones? Is that the question?
It was the question. And I do mean that in terms of fantasy value and where he's going to go in drafts. Now, I think he should go higher. But I will say this. If both players are out on the field, and both are healthy, I do think Matt Ryan prefers throwing the ball to Julio Jones, which makes the offseason narrative there is going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with you that when both players are on the field, the first target is Julio. The better wide receiver is Julio. But
right.
For fantasy, that number 2 position, we've seen it before, how valuable it can be, a la Juju Smith-Schuster across from Antonio
number
Brown.
Number 2.
And the touchdowns, which are so important for fantasy, that's Calvin Ridley's, Calvin Ridley over Julio for sure. He's got a knack for the zones near the end zone, and Julio just
zone
has
zone in
not.
The zone, man.
He's got a knack for the zones near the zone, baby.
Get in the zone with the end zone.
Yes. I mean, I'm just saying the zone coverage
sure.
He's phenomenal at in the red zone,
zone on
which
zone,
is
baby.
Inside the 20.
No.
He's great.
Zone.
So I would take Calvin Ridley, and then you also have to. You also have to include the injury and
yes,
age
certainly.
Reality for Julio, which factors in. So Ridley will go ahead of Julio.
Loves
Jones.
A good cow zone, too.
Oh, man.
From what
doesn't?
I understand. Who you know what? The true answer to the cow zone question is I've probably had like 2 cow zones in my life. You want to know why? Because where you get cow zones is where you get pizza.
Honestly,
that's 100%
that is the biggest problem with cow zones.
Yeah.
They're not pizza.
Because I would rather have pizza.
I mean, it is. It's just you took a pizza and, and folded it in half.
Yeah, but
like, I could do that
anytime
I eat pizza. I could grab two slices and just make it into a pizza sandwich.
But that's not a calzone. That's a pizza sandwich.
Yeah. Unless you seal the edges. No, I've bought.
Yeah. Are you crimping them?
Are you crimping them together? You can do it with an iron. No, I've had calzones, and I'm telling you, there's illegal amounts of cheese in those things. I mean, like, you could drink it like a cup. I mean, it's gross.
Is it gross?
No, it's delicious. Yeah, that's what DeAndre Hopkins comes in at number five, but we have our first huge disparity here. Number five in fantasy finish, 13th in consistency. And yet, I look at this season from Hopkins, and you compare it to the season from Ridley, I'm not sure which season I'd rather have. And this is a playing style thing for fantasy. Hopkins, almost every one of his good weeks was not just a good week. He had 25% great weeks. He had top 10 finishes almost every single time he was great.
Now, do you prefer 25% or 27%?
Is that what there was for Ridley?
Yeah, I'm just, you know.
Well, yes, by our classification, that's a little different than top 12 versus not. But yeah, I get what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Better for Ridley. Yeah. That's why he's more consistent and finished higher. But what a weird year. I mean, 25% bust rate.
Yeah. Like,
that's similar to Ridley. I mean, Ridley's
But do you like 20% bust or 25%? But like, if for good games, would you rather have 73% or 56%?
I understand what Andy is saying, although I am very much enjoying you shooting holes in the argument. But the, you know, Hopkins was more boom-bust.
Let me highlight something
for
you.
The boom was higher.
Yes. There were five times this season that Calvin Ridley finished inside the top 12 five times.
Okay.
DeAndre Hopkins did that eight times. Okay. That's what I meant when it jumped out. So
okay.
Now the lows were lower, and because for some reason the Cardinals forgot how to play about, I don't know,
oh, I mean,
seven times this year.
I we all know what happens, and it rhymes with Schmiff Schmingsbury.
It's Kyler Murray too.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Look, Cliff Kingsbury doesn't throw the football over his receiver's head every third game. Kyler lost his accuracy seven times this year. I don't.
Yeah, but you did have games where they were running out Hopkins like the same route for 100% of the time on one side of the field.
Would you dub that
the route Bush?
The route Bush. Yes.
We are extra critical of Arizona. In fact, we don't necessarily know what we have in Kyler sometimes because we watch these games and we expect, you know, Cliff to call plays that are better than what he's putting out there. Look, this is the most receptions that DeAndre Hopkins has ever had in his career.
Whoa, really?
Yeah. So
wow.
And also his highest catch rate. So like the metrics by which you measure success are very strange sometimes because Cliff just produced, okay, we always say, use your best weapon. Yeah. Career high in receptions for DeAndre Hopkins.
160 targets. I mean, so, you can't really use a guy much more than 160 targets.
Use him in important situations. Oh, he led all wide receivers with first down receptions.
Yeah, but six touchdowns.
That's your problem.
That is the problem.
He had a shot at number one. I mean, he had 1,400 yards. He had 115 catches.
If he ends the year with 10 touchdowns, then he's phenomenal. Some of these games are better.
That's because Kyler runs the ball in around the end zone. So that's not going to change completely.
No, that is fair. You get down at the 10-yard line and in, and you've got Aaron Rodgers. The amount of times he's throwing instead of running and going right to to Davante Adams is like 60% of the time.
I'm going to tell you something right now. I've been playing a lot of Madden with my son. He likes to challenge me every night, you know. Mm-hmm. The dude ran a read option and ran it in on me with Tom Brady.
How'd that feel?
That did not feel good. I am and then I tried to run the read option on him with Mahomes, and he stuffed me. And it did not feel good.
The fact that you can even run the read option
with Brady?
No, like, that you know which button to push actually hand the ball off. You're blowing my mind over here.
I'm telling you.
I fire that play up all the time, but I don't know.
There's no option.
Yeah, no, Mike, it's just read.
It's just,
It's Reed Sack.
The Reed Sack, yes.
Because I have no idea what I'm doing.
Oh, my gosh. No, but when Brady comes trouncing into the end zone at 1 mile an hour, and I can't get to him in time.
That's really funny.
And he's
funny.
Cackling at the top of his lungs at me. Anyways, when you mentioned the odds of Aaron Rodgers running it in, I thought of Brady, and I was just like, man, that is a variable that it was always present with Cam Newton's teams. It's present with Lamar Jackson's teams.
Stephon Diggs had
that too.
Eight.
Yeah,
Stephon
that's
Diggs
a good
had
point.
Eight touchdowns.
All right, anything else you want to talk about with Hopkins?
Only thing I would say is another year for Kyler, another year for them together. I think that what we established this year is – he is the clear dominant one,
yes,
and
yes.
Going forward, his talent with this offense should be good.
No chance that he falls off a cliff next year?
Ooh.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Justin Jefferson.
Oh, man.
Be still my heart.
Now, he has a wide disparity. He finished as the wide receiver 6 here, and consistency-wise, he is the wide receiver 19. Now, that's a little not fair.
This one's skewed because of the rookie.
Because of the first 2 games. Unlike, we don't count injury, and this is all kind of done via, you know, an algorithm that kind of does it automatically. And so when they miss a game, they're not in there. But those first 2 weeks, he was on the roster. He played in the game, but he was not a starter. He was not really involved in the offense. If you were to remove those games, I've done this manually.
Thank you.
He would be the consistency of wide receiver 9, the 9th most consistent.
Okay,
so
that's better.
This is an outlandishly good rookie season. I mean, you can argue, and I think it would be a pretty easy argument to say this was the best rookie wide receiver season of all time.
Outstanding. Unbelievable. Massive talent on a run-first team. Big plays. Great hands.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible dances.
Oh, man. Oh, man, that end zone dance.
And really, I mean, you have to view the year through the rookie lens. I mean, you do, because from week 10 on, it was very consistent at the wide receiver position. Yardage was up there. I mean, 1,400 yards as a rookie, 7 touchdowns, 88 catches. Unbelievable. So the future is very bright for Justin Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like Jason said, those first few weeks, Olabisi Johnson was out-snapping him. So the wide receiver 4 from weeks 3 through 17. So that says it all. And I think more, you know, would you have rather had Jefferson from weeks 3 on or DeAndre Hopkins last year? That's a pretty tough one.
That's a fair question.
I guess I lean Hopkins a little bit from the pure volume standpoint, but it's close.
What happens if they trade Kirk?
It changes. It definitely does. I mean, obviously, your production at wide receiver is tied to who your quarterback is, and if they trade Kirk, it's going to be who they get back. If they got Jimmy Garoppolo back, I don't think
they really will.
It makes no sense to trade Kirk.
I think it's absurd. If
you trade Kirk, you're not trading Kirk and getting a better quarterback. Therefore, you are giving up. And if you're giving up, you know, with...
That's not what Zimmer is doing.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense to me. And now you already know you got Detroit in that division. One team's out of the way. Sorry, Detroit. All right. 7 games over 100 receiving yards. That is the 2nd most, along with Adams, Hopkins, and Diggs. Do you get concerned with any bust percentage because of the rookie season? No, I don't. So we'll move on. DK Metcalf took the world by storm through the first half of the year. 63% good games, 25% great. Ended up with 1,303 yards, 10 touchdowns, 83 receptions. Much better at home, 6 points better. Much better against bad defenses, 17 points per game versus 11. You know, he came out and talked about the season. And we saw the offense drop off a cliff. And he said why. He said they figured us out. We were going deep all the time. Then they decided we're going to take the deep ball away over the second half of the year, and we didn't know what to do. That's basically what he said. So, and you saw it on the field. Because he was a big play guy in every game, multiple shots. Now, they still had shots, and he still had some big plays down the stretch, but it was a humongous difference.
Yeah, I mean, once you got to around that midway point, weeks 10 on, in the beginning of the year, you thought DK Metcalf was the clear-cut number one wide receiver, the best dynasty draft pick you could make. They're letting Russ cook. And from week 10 on, which is a significant, I mean, that's almost the entire second half of the season, he was the wide receiver 25 over that. He wasn't a wide receiver 2 in total points. So it's really difficult to, you know, when you're talking about the truth about him and about Tyler Lockett, now that we'll get to him in just a second, which is pretty fun. but you have to talk about what's the truth about the Seahawks, because they got figured out. They changed to be more run-oriented when Russell Wilson started turning the ball over a lot. They were losing. They switched. They started winning games, throwing the ball less. And then going into the offseason, they were, you know, Pete Carroll met with Brian Schottenheimer. They were expected to continue that relationship forward. But there was apparently in that meeting some disagreement where Pete Carroll wanted to get back to running the ball more. And there was such a disagreement that Schottenheimer's gone. They left, and he's been replaced as the offensive coordinator. Obviously, you have to assume, regardless of the tendencies of the person they're bringing in, they want to run the ball more, which hurt both DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. But Metcalf is a otherworldly human being, so what do you do with him?
Look, he's going to be a touchdown guy. Russ has always been efficient with his touchdown totals. Metcalf is the size of a house. He's going to be a double-digit touchdown wide receiver probably for the next 10 years. I mean, that's the honest truth about Metcalf. But consistency-wise, volume is not going to be there. Look at the first half of the year when he was wide receiver 2. It was a 16-touchdown pace. When he was a wide receiver 25, it was a 4-touchdown pace. It all came down to the total receptions, the pace between those two spans, it was the same, basically. 85 receptions. So that didn't change. It was the touchdowns, some of the deep ball targets, 18 deep ball targets in the beginning of the year, only 11 over the back half. Hyper-talented player, better than Lockett in terms of fantasy value or fantasy production moving forward, but a team that is going to, unfortunately, force us to roll our eyes more often than not.
Yeah, but is there a chance that they get that running game going better, and then it looks like the Minnesota Vikings, where they're a running team, but they still have two high-level fantasy wide receivers that produce and are consistent, because that's just how they believe that the offensive philosophy is they have to go through the running game, but it does branch out when their running game is going, that the wide receivers
can be
better.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, neither one of these wide receivers are going to be left for dead. You've got the same thing has happened for years with the Rams when they were run first and Todd Gurley and all that. And then that opens up the play action game. And when you've got a great quarterback, and Russ is a great quarterback, and you've got DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, who are great wide receivers.
And great deep threats, both of them.
Yeah, there will be plenty of fantasy opportunity, but it's not going to be the consistent opportunity that you want for your wide receiver 1. This is going to be the upside opportunity
that you want to draft DK Metcalf as a top 10 wide receiver?
No.
Yeah, I agree with that. I would say no.
No, I would like to have DK Metcalf as my wide receiver 2, not...
The Vikings are the perfect example, Mike. Both Thielen and Diggs, for years, very viable in fantasy. Now, Thielen had some more ceiling years, but like, you know, 10 to 12 to 15 range for one of those guys makes sense to me. And that's if you've... It's just such a departure from how people were starting to look at Metcalf to start the year, which was like, is this the best dynasty wide receiver for the next 10 years? Yep. And I don't think the answer is going to be yes.
Be careful. I mean, and I'm not talking to the listener right now. I'm also talking into the mirror. Be careful with those first 4 weeks of the season. They get you every time.
Yeah. Dogecoin Metcalf is a bit of a... I'm just saying, there might be a spike, and then it goes to a normal price. That's all I'm saying.
Look, we can go right into Adam Thielen, and for that matter, Tyler Lockett, right? These two packs, they are, you know, they finished as these four wide receivers back-to-back-to-back-to-back, which is insane to think that Tyler Lockett finished two spots behind DK Metcalf. But when it comes to Adam Thielen, consistency rank 18, finished as the wide receiver 8, had, you know, he's pretty touchdown dependent.
He was 14 touchdowns, 74 catches.
Yeah, I mean, he's always been great. I still believe he's a great wide receiver, but the volume play of years prior when they were airing it out, when that goes away a little bit more, and now you have the rookie come on the scene, the second half of the year, you had to be a little bit more disappointed in what you had with Adam Thielen. Are you for sure drafting Justin Jefferson over Adam Thielen next
year?
Yes,
absolutely.
I think that's a yes. But
more receptions, 500 more yards, same touchdown potential moving forward.
So if it's a round difference, would you still rather?
Yes.
Would you rather have Justin Jefferson for a round earlier, or take the value gap and get
there
Thielen?
Is a chance Thielen ends up being a value for the next couple of years because of the Jefferson vault.
Thielen has been a top 10 wide receiver 3 of the last 4 years.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I would rather have Thielen at the discount. I think that the hype for Jefferson, the hope that he is
the hype hope,
Randy Moss, you know, just like a Jerry Rice, he's going to be a forever thing and one of the greatest wide receivers of all time, might inflate his value a little too much, when we know even with him doing great things, Adam Thielen was still good. And Thielen's been great for pretty much ever.
Yeah, I still lean the. I mean, it's pretty impressive that Jefferson finished so much ahead of Thielen in his rookie year when he didn't have the full allotment of snaps. Mm-hmm. But Thielen will probably end up a value. And honestly, it's really impressive that these guys finished at what, 6-8
mm-hmm.
on a run first Dalvin Cook team.
That's what I'm talking about. Get rid of all these third wide receivers.
That's pretty much what happened. Yeah.
Just like if you've got a great tight end, then you get one wide receiver. If you don't have a good tight end, then you get two wide receivers. Don't throw the ball to anybody else. Fantasy is king, and NFL and you know, well, look, stick to the pie being split between two guys.
While we're at it, can we just get a few more tight ends featured?
Probably not.
You're going to have to remove some wide receivers there, Mike, but based on my rules.
I'm okay doing that. As long as we can get just like two more. Just two more.
Okay.
You don't need retreads. You don't want them coming back in the league.
No.
Do we need Antonio Gates back?
Oh, please no.
I don't think that would be good.
For the sake of the show. Come on back.
Yeah, Gates and Rivers now both retired, huh?
Yeah,
days gone by.
We're old.
Thielen was a 33% bust rate, 53% good, 27% great. Missed a game with COVID in week 12. Mm. But you do notice Cousins just goes to him in the red zone. I mean, 14 touchdowns is a ridiculous total. In fact, I mean, if Thielen halves that, which is 7 is not a bad number, this is a pretty disappointing year for Thielen.
Sure.
Under 1,000 yards, under 80 catches. So 9 games of 4 or fewer receptions. So that could be a an indicator of, you know, where he's at right now.
I would agree with that. And look, he's had 4 great seasons the 4 years prior. And to speak to your touchdown dependency argument, he was looked to and he was awesome in the red zone. I feel like they could continue to do that. But for the 4 years prior, he averaged 6 touchdowns. So that is, you know, 14 would be the outlier.
Yeah. I am not going to talk about Tyler Lockett yet.
No.
I am going to save that entertaining conversation for our next episode of the show.
All right.
Oh, geez.
In the meantime, I want to thank Pristine Auction. They have a special jersey auction through Thursday. For example, a Calvin Ridley signed Falcons jersey, Darren Waller signed Raiders jersey.
Already got a Ridley jersey.
Travis Etienne signed Clemson Tiger jersey.
Oh.
All of those are at $20, and that is the current price right now.
Wow.
PristineAuction.com. All those in Thursday night. Get in on some sweet deals. Use the code BALLERS, and you will get a $10 credit towards any of those purchases. We're going to be talking a lot of rookies and pro days and draft hype, and there will be names, and there will be players that, you know, the general public isn't in on yet. I bet Justin Jefferson jerseys were selling for a little less money last February. So if you've got a guy you love, you can check them out at PristineAuction.com. We'll save Tyler Lockett's ping pong ball tales to for Thursday. Are you excited, Jason? You going to be here Thursday?
I will be here.
All right.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.